You know what I don't get about the criticism towards George Payton? Is this whole idea of, well, is that what we want? Is that what we aspire to be, what the Vikings were? We hired a guy from the Vikings. That reasoning, it doesn't compute to me. Because, Colfax, we hire guys. Vic Fangio is hired as your head coach, not because of how the organization as a whole was ran, but how he handled his department, how he handled defense. Now, George Payton made some decisions for Minnesota, no question about it. He made draft picks for Minnesota, but he wasn't the end-all be-all. He didn't make all of the decisions. He was the assistant general manager from 2012 to 2014. He was the assistant general manager and vice president of player personnel 15 to 20. So, yes, he was a big part of what Minnesota did. But you could be a big part of your company. You know, you could be an amazing, we see this in the brewery world. Colfax, you can help me out with this. In the brewery world, you got the owner of the brewery, who was a brewer at one point. Now he owns his own brewery, and he's doing great things. And he hires this young and up-and-comer brewer who knows a thing or two about beer and makes all these crazy things happen and starts to understand the business. And that brewery does pretty good. But then that head brewer says, I want to start my own thing. And then starts his own thing, and that becomes an even bigger brewery.
Yep.
Because he took some of the things he learned from that place, and then he took some of the things he always wanted to do that he couldn't do because it wasn't part of the plan.
Yeah, 100%. Or maybe like that brewer was like part of a brewery that wasn't doing so hot, and he kind of, you know, showed his stripes and
sure.
Made it, you know, turned up the...
He had ideas that just didn't work with their plan at that point. Or maybe the ideas came later. You know, again, it's like any business.
Yeah.
I just think this whole idea that, well, I mean, really, look at the... Like, we want to go down and look at the Vikings since 2012. Well, first off, they're a playoff team, more often than not, since George Payton was involved. That's neither here nor there, though. Because, yes, while Payton did some good things there, and I'm sure he made some mistakes there, he was probably full of other ideas and ways to go about building an offense, building a defense, building special teams, building a locker room, building up a legacy, creating a legacy and a system and an atmosphere that he didn't get to call those shots while he was in Minnesota. That's why you hire assistants. You know, you look at Coach Wes Upseld with the Nuggets, assistant coach. What is the argument there? Oh, well, all he did was just be a part of a team that didn't get to the West, that only went to the Western Conference, once or twice. No, just once. Okay. No, that's not how you should view it. For some reason, that's where we are, is we get to this stage of, well, they were part of a weird organization. No, I mean, you can be a young up and comer. Even though you're not a part of a Super Bowl team. How's that work out for everybody? Matt Patricia goes on to run things in Detroit after being the defensive coordinator for the Patriots forever. Well, you would... Oh, well, what's he done there? I guess he was a part of that organization. That didn't work. So, and then, of course, it magnifies that because he didn't take Justin Fields. Because he didn't take a quarterback with that first pick in the NFL draft. I still liken it to this, man. I mean, if there's five quarterbacks in the draft, other than that crazy year that still seems to be yielding a pretty good crop, the Baker Mayfield year, if you give me five quarterbacks in the draft, I'm almost going to put money on three of them not being great. Two of them would be great. Maybe one's really great, one's pretty good, one's average, one's and the other one can't even get a starting job. One's average and becomes like a Trubisky type. Like he's a starting quarterback for 4 or 5 years. And they keep waiting for him to take that next step. So George obviously played that odds game and felt that, okay, maybe Fields is going to be the one that doesn't stick, and we're going to go get a franchise corner like a Champ Bailey type guy. And I, these people that say, you can't win big games with a shutdown corner. The year the Broncos went to the AFC Championship, was that 2005 against the Steelers? That was an amazing year by Champ Bailey. I mean, I think he had 9 picks or 12 picks in the season, but he also had that game-changing pick against Tom Brady. Took it almost to the house, 99 yards, ran out of gas. But, I mean, he was shut down. And that was the year of these great wide receivers. We had a lot of great wide receivers, too. I mean, like I remember seeing Champ go up against T.O., you know, Chad Ochocinco. We had all those guys. And Champ was still a shutdown corner in a league that was really changing and trying to make it easier for the receivers as he was wrapping up his career. I mean, you can't. The idea that, oh, you can't just build around a corner. I mean, you kind of can. Can't you? You can build a defense around a cornerback. You can build a defense around anybody. Seattle began that process with Richard Sherman. Started building their Legion of Boom. It's got to start somewhere. You can't just get it all at once. Oh, they need to be building around. You can't build around a left guard. Yeah, you can. You can build around a running back. You can build around a left guard. You can build around a lot. And then you hope that the right quarterback falls at some point. Here's Dixon Brady. I'm not a Bronco fan. Ha! But I think the problem is that Bronco fans are so starved for a quarterback since Manning left and know they have to compete with Mahomes for the next decade that they saw him basically admit he wanted to upgrade quarterback by being in the mix for Matt Stafford, etc. And then he passed on Fields, who could have also been an upgrade, and he took the safe route. Now fans are still staring at Locke and a journeyman backup in Teddy. But what's wrong with the safe route year one? Yes, Colfax.
This is not the safe route.
Not really.
Picking a star quarterback is the safe route.
That would have been the easy route, because yeah, if Justin Fields would have failed, Broncos country would have collectively said, yeah, but that we were there with you, man.
Yep.
You know, we would have signed off on that.
Yeah.
So I actually agree with you. This isn't the safe route. I mean, they already had corners. This was the controversial route. In fact, even though I still predicted that Surtain, of my one of three guys that I thought they'd get, he was that guy. In fact, he was my favorite guy a month before the draft. Yep. I teetered a little bit when I started hearing all the quarterback talk. And I loved Parsons as well. But they got Darby and Fuller, and obviously they drafted Michael Ojemudia last year, who we haven't even really talked about being in the mix of corners. And so they, for everything, you know, that fans are looking at, you're looking at saying, well, you already got corners. You went and upgraded. You needed to upgrade, you did. You got two guys in free agency / trade. Plus, you drafted Ojemudia last year. Plus, Bryce Callahan's coming back fully healthy. Why'd you go with a corner? So, if anything, this was the most controversial pick other than taking a punter. I mean, this was the dangerous pick.
Yeah.
This was the pick that Vic Fangio wanted, no doubt. You know, he said, hey, you give me more corners, man, and I'm going to be able to do some crazy things with this defense. You don't think that conversation happened over a hamburger and a steak or whatever?
Totally.
In sweatpants? I mean, that's what I'm sure Vic sold him on. I know you just picked up two corners, but this is going to be, I said this yesterday, and I stand by this. I believe Vic Fangio is creating a hybrid player. I think if he sticks around, if he makes it and can stay the head coach for Denver, which I'm neither here nor there on. I'm here for it. I'm not necessarily like, oh, I love this guy. But I do think his defensive mind is great. And I'd like to see that play out in Denver. But you got to have, you know, the defense has got to be amazing. But Vic's probably going to do something game-changing if he can stay at the head coach position. I think he's creating a hybrid at some point. I think we're going to see a team, maybe it's Denver, in the next few years, they draft a free safety or a strong safety that they believe can bulk up and become a middle linebacker, but can also back out and play 20 yards deep, 30 yards deep. So I'm very excited to see it. I loved the pick. because I get the vision for this defense. Texter, at least he would have taken a swing. George Payton is tied to Justin Fields right now. He better hope he was right about passing on him. I mean, yeah, he's tied to him. You're right. You're not wrong there. If Fields succeeds, and I'm talking succeeds like Josh Allen succeeds, then and Denver's defense is just kind of, well, they're good, but whatever. And then, you know, the Broncos win 6-7 games. They fire Vic, and then the next year they draft a quarterback, and he's not good. I mean, yeah, you the negative is you could go down this path of really bad. You could. And that's the risk that he took. So, like you said, this is not the safe pick. This was the, all right, Vic, you want another corner. Here you go. We love this guy. I love him, too. We've seen the tape. He's on our board, but Justin Fields is there. If he fails, then that's not necessarily a failure on my part. It was not, Fields wasn't the risk like Paxton Lynch was more of a risk, you know? Drew Lock, even in the second round, was kind of, it seemed like the good pick 2 years ago when the Broncos traded out of 10 and then they got 20. They got Noah Fant at 20. It seemed like, oh, this, you could have stayed at 10 and got another linebacker there. But I think this the judgment on Payton so early on is a little crazy. I mean, I think that this guy is Patrick Surtain is going to be a game changer, maybe even in his rookie year. No. Texter said Surtain was most definitely the safe pick, and also a luxury pick that the team didn't really need with what they already had. Well, first off, all those guys that are signed, is it Fuller or Darby? I don't have the contracts. One of those guys only has 1 year on the contract. And then Bryce Callahan only has 1 year left on his contract. You're not going to bring both those guys back. You may not bring, you're not going to bring both. You might bring one back. Maybe you bring both, but I'd be shocked. I would not say he was the safe pick. All the things you just outlined made it not the safe pick. By you saying it was a luxury pick, it was one they didn't really need. So that's not the safe pick. Fans are going to go, why did you do that? You did not need a corner. Yes, maybe he's the best player in the draft, but most of Broncos country wanted a quarterback or something else, not a corner, because they thought you had him. So maybe in your mind of he wasn't a safe pick because, or he was a safe pick because he's talented, he was not a safe pick specifically for the Broncos. He was the dangerous pick. The safe pick would have been Justin Fields. Safe, a little less safe, but still safe, probably would have been Micah Parsons because you needed an inside linebacker. Those were your big needs. Corner was a need. Then they filled it, and I still thought they needed it. I wouldn't be shocked if they go that route. And they certainly did. Texter, Surtain was considered one of the best players in the draft, taking a chance on Fields, who you even just said you weren't excited about, would have been a little riskier. I was excited about Fields. He was on my list. It was Patrick Surtain, Justin Fields, and Michael Parsons. I mean, this crazy. Dixon says, Brady, I know I say you're wrong a lot, but your definition of a safe pick is out of whack. You have the Fields Surtain thing completely backwards. Nah, no way. You're talking about a play. Okay. If Trevor Lawrence is the best player in the draft, correct? Best player in the draft.
Sure. Yes.
If for some reason the Chiefs had the number one pick and drafted Trevor Lawrence, that would have been a dangerous pick. But he's the best player in the draft. So why would that be a dangerous pick? Because you already have Patrick Mahomes. You do not need a quarterback. That is a silly pick. It's not that extreme, but this is the same way of thinking. Denver didn't, quote-unquote, need a corner to the rest of Broncos country. They needed a quarterback. So the safe pick is to fill your position of need. And your job is safe. You picked the guy that you were supposed to pick. Broncos country approves. Management approves. You got your quarterback. He didn't work out. 4 years later, he didn't work out. We all thought he would. If Elway would have taken Josh Allen, and Allen didn't work out, we would have said maybe that would be a little less safe, right? Because he was a Wyoming guy, Mountain West. But because he didn't, Bradley Chubb was, and Bradley Chubb wasn't the safe pick either. That was not a position of need for Denver. So no, if you're talking about safe pick in terms of greatest player available, but if it does not fit your current need, then it doesn't. It's not considered a safe pick. It's considered a risky pick. It's considered one of those picks where you're like, all right, I see in the future that these two corners probably aren't going to be here anymore, so we're going to get him going as a rookie now, and then next year he'll be our number one. A lot of things need to go the way you planned it. So no, I'm sorry, but taking Justin Fields would have been the safe pick. I said he was on my board. I was shocked they didn't get him. I actually was. But also happy they got Patrick Surtain. All right, 21 minutes after the hour. Do want to shout out to one of our great sponsors, and that's Highland Lanes Bowling Alley, man. I mean, I love this place. We go there as often as we can. And love getting together with the fellas and having a few beers and ordering a pizza or whatever. Man, the food is delicious there. And it's a relaxed environment. Love it. That's Highland Park Lanes in West Greeley. Check them out. Tell them we sent you from the whole show. 21 minutes after the hour. Let's get the, well, we'll take a quick break. And then we actually are off at 1:30 today because we got Colorado and Seattle going at it with pregame coverage starting right at 1:30. We'll be right back.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I think deep down, Chiefs fans are just scared that Denver really upgraded this defense. And they're like, oh, you should have went with a quarterback now. Patrick Surtain's going to eat our lunch. Just throwing it out there. Chiefs fans are scared, man. They're scared. This defense is going to be out of control. It's going to be so much fun. Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm ready for football now. Last week I wasn't. I was not in that mindset. Now I'm getting there. Training camp's a few weeks away. And we get to this quarterback battle. I'm really hopeful Drew Lock can turn it around. It'd be a fun story, wouldn't it? If he can change things. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. I put together my deep thoughts from a wandering mind. I got four major items that the Nuggets have to determine. Not necessarily moves, but points that might dictate moves. Like, what do you do with Jamal Murray? He's out. Chris Dempsey told us last week that the ACL injury, that historically, people that tear that type, that have that kind of injury, it could take them a year to be back. He tore it in April. So, I mean, we're going to be in the back half of the season. Are you comfortable going into the regular season with Monte Morris at starter, Faku Campazzo as the backup? Maybe you re-sign Austin Rivers? Maybe they do? Are you comfortable with that for the season? Not for the playoffs, but for the season. And then you also have to hope that Jamal just picks up right where he left off. I think he will. We'll probably still have the same issues that we used to have, but an inconsistent Jamal is still the best point guard on that team. I saw Adam Mares, who we've had on the program, say something like, maybe it's time for the Nuggets to look at a true point guard, and when Jamal comes back, he goes to number two. I mean, I'd be for that. Monte Morris could still be number one, and you could go for that switch, but then your depth falters a bit. So I've got that to take a look at, and in detail, you can look at that. But it didn't sound like Tim Conley was going to let that injury and when Jamal would come back dictate how he messes with the offseason. So for the other four, go check it out. Again, at thewholeshow.com. For the rest of the four, I should say. My key points for what the Nuggets should be doing. That's at thewholeshow.com. But I do think that that's it's a risk. Talk about safe. Do you just cross your fingers and go, Morris and Faku, and we're getting Will, if Will Barton picks up his option, they can hold it down until Murray's back. I mean, heaven forbid, though, Joker is absolutely exhausted from carrying this team again all the way to April. I mean, he was exhausted mentally and physically by the time this was all done. It started once Murray went down. He had to carry this team. And yes, they won, what, 7 in a row when Murray went down, something like that. But you could still see cracks. Like, Aaron Gordon wasn't quite the player that he was when Jamal went down. Or at least you started to see that fade every game as we progressed, and especially once we got into the playoffs. So, do you want to put all that stress back on Joker? Do you go out and make a big move? And I'm talking a big guard move. That can play, you know, point guard. And guard, if you're a guard, you can play point guard almost in this league anymore. Do you make a big move? And if you do, it's easy for fans to say, go make a big move. Bring in a top free agent like DeMar DeRozan. If you're going to do, you think DeMar DeRozan wants to sign a one-year deal? He's probably looking for a place where he can sign a four-year deal. Can Denver sign a DeMar DeRozan type guy to a 3 to 4 year deal? Knowing that the Joker's max contract's coming up in 2 years for the MVP, knowing that Jamal Murray's, you know, obviously he signed to a big deal, and knowing that you might want MPJ to be a part of your big three. I mean, you got to be careful here. So go check that out. It's available at thewholeshow.com. Let me know what you think. We've got Rockies Mariners coming up. Pre-game coverage starting right after this. So we're going to step aside a little bit early. Go out and get some early lunch, Colfax, for us. My goodness, it's going to be a fantastic time. Looking forward to it.
What's your pick?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going Bucks.
Ooh. Oh. Yeah, I'm going Bucks tonight. That's it. Good night, Northern Colorado.
KFKA Greeley, Fort Collins, and Loveland now interrupts our regular programming to bring you this special sports broadcast.